preach to us tonight. I appreciate again. This is Wednesday night. We're not used to preaching on Wednesday. But we'll adapt.
Hallelujah. Okay. Amen.
Amen. I'm glad he can adapt. Usually that's a Marine thing, I think. Adapt, overcome. But Air Force kind of do that sometimes, too. So it's interesting. One thing I didn't say was that my wife, being in the Air Force, she outranked me. She was in longer than I was. And so when I got saved, when we got saved, I was reading my Bible, and I told her, I said, "Honey, the Bible says the man's supposed to be the head of the house. You're going to need to get out of the Air Force so I can be in charge." And so one preacher said, "How did that work out for you?" And so I don't know. So, but we're honored to be here with you. If you have your Bible, if you go to Acts chapter number 8 tonight, Now, I've seen a lot of people do a lot of things with their old credit cards when they cut them up. I know Dave Ramsey says to do that, but I've never seen anybody turn it into a guitar pick. I mean, that's kind of unique there, Pastor Rice. I mean, that's something special, and so that's good. Amen. And I love that song, "Thank You, Lord, for Saving My Soul." Aren't you glad you're saved today?
Amen.
Have you thought about what God did to save you? And I mean, we live in a world that seems oblivious to God, doesn't want anything to do with God, but God came to where you were, and you heard the gospel, and you asked Him in your heart and life, and what a great thing that is. Amen? Hallelujah for that. And so, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. I want to look at Acts chapter number 8. I want to begin reading in verse 26 tonight. Acts chapter number 8, and begin reading in verse number 26. The Bible says, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem, unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Esaias the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Esaias, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus." Amen. I want you to go back to verse 26, and we'll find the title of the message there tonight: Arise and Go. Arise and go. And I want to challenge you tonight in these. I believe this. I believe the Lord Jesus Christ could come back at any time. Amen. I believe the rapture is the next thing on God's prophetic calendar. And I'm looking forward to that day. Amen. There was a time when I was a young preacher, Pastor Rice, and I was in training. I always thought, Lord, please don't come back yet. I want to finish school. I want to finish deputation. I want to get to Peru. I want to pass Pastor of church, please don't come back yet. But the longer I live, the more I think I'm like the book of Revelation, where it says, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen. And so if He'd come before I finish this message tonight, that would be perfectly fine with me. I could go to heaven just as well from New York as I can from Georgia or any place else. And so, but as we get closer to that day, it's not a time to throw in the towel. It's not a time just to maintain. I believe God's Word's always very clear. We are to go forward. We are to arise and go. We are to continue to share the message. One of the great things is we don't have to lead people to Christ. Amen. We just have to share the good news with others. And I was so encouraged last week at a missions conference we were with in Cleveland, Ohio. The keynote preacher, he went out early that morning to buy some hairspray, and he was on his way back to the church, and he seen a young man walking and crying, and he rolled down his window and began to talk to him, and he ended up leading that young man to Christ. And then he went and got him a hotel room. And that night at the service, the young man came to the service. And so is God still in the saving business? Amen. God's still saving souls. And so our task is in these last days to arise and go. I want to share with you three attitudes that I think we need to have from this passage of Scripture if we're going to arise and go and serve the Lord in these last days. Now, the thing I love about Philip in our text is that Philip just desired to serve God. Wherever Philip was at, he just wanted to be faithful to God and serve God. We first learn about Philip in Acts chapter number 6. There was murmuring and disputing that was going on because the widows were being neglected in the church. And they came to the apostles and they said, "Listen, the widows are being neglected. Nobody's taking care of them." And the apostles said this. They said, "It's not right for us to leave the Word of God and prayer to serve tables." They said, "If you want somebody to serve the widows, look them out among you. 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost, men of wisdom." And so Philip was one of those men that was faithful to the church, was faithful in the house of God. He was one of the men that was selected. So first of all, Philip was a faithful layman in the church. But then not only that, I believe those in Acts 6, they were the first deacons in the church. A deacon is a servant. And so he was a serving deacon in the church. And the Bible says this, that when they selected those men and they began to serve, that the Word of God increased and the disciples multiplied. Why is that? Because everybody was doing their job. The apostles were preaching and teaching the Word of God and praying. And these men that they selected, they were serving. And so the Word of God increased and the disciples were multiplied. So he was a serving deacon. In the beginning of Acts chapter number 8, persecution comes to the city of Jerusalem. And Philip goes to Samaria and he preaches Christ to those in Samaria. And the people believe the message he preached. They saw the miracles he did. They believed his message. They were baptized. And great things were happening in Samaria where Philip was at. And so now, in verse 26, the angel of the Lord came to Philip and said, "Arise and go." So what are these attitudes that we need to have? Number one, let me show you in verse 26. We must be submissive to the will of God. And here's the exciting thing. It doesn't matter how young you are or how old you are tonight. God has a will for your life. Amen. God has a purpose for your life. We joke sometimes, and people always ask me when I go to a new church, "How are you doing?" I always say, "I'm doing better than I deserve." Amen? And that's true. I'm doing better than I deserve. I do not deserve God's blessings. I do not deserve to be able to travel around. I deserve hell. That's really what I deserve. Amen. But I'm doing better than I deserve because Jesus died on the cross for my sins. Amen? And so I'm doing better than I deserve. But I want you to understand tonight that if we're alive tonight and we're breathing, God has a purpose for our life. God has something He wants us to do. There is something that God wants us to do, and we must be submissive to God's will. Now, it doesn't mean you're going to pick up your bags and go to the mission field tomorrow. It doesn't mean that. But it does mean that God has something He wants to accomplish in your life. And we must be submissive to the will of God. Notice what it says there in verse 26. The angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, "Arise and go toward the south, unto the way they go down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert." And he arose and went. Notice this about Philip. He obeyed the will of God. God said, "Arise and go." Philip arose and went. Let me give you some things here about God's will that I see in this passage. Number one, God's will is often unexplained. When I read this text, God didn't tell Philip why he needed to go. He didn't give him the reason he needed to go. He just said, "Arise and go." And Philip arose and went. Can I say this? That God does not have to explain Himself to us. Amen. If God says it, That settles it, amen. If God tells us to do something, we should just say, God, I want to do that. I want to obey. I want to follow the will of the Lord. And we should submit to God's will. I was asking a preacher friend in Virginia when we got accepted by BIMI. I said, he pastors all branches of service. He has Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, Coast Guard, all branches. So I asked him, I said, which is the easiest branch of the military to work with? And he said this, he said, the Marines. He said, Brother Staley, once you teach a Marine to read, they'll do anything, amen. And I said, that's good, I like that, because they were making fun of the Marines. Now, I've told that to Marines, and they usually say, well, it's not reading that's the problem, it's that we can't stop eating the crayons that they give us. And so, but we love the Marines, we just joke and aside. And so then I asked him, okay, I said, well, what's the most difficult group to work with? He said, that's easy by far also. That's the Air Force. They have to have everything explained to them. He said, you tell a Marine to do something, you tell an Air Force guy to do something, you come back in a little bit, the Marine's done or almost done. The Air Force guy's still there twiddling his thumbs wondering, why are we even doing this? Is this the easiest way to do this? Is there not another way to do this? That's why I gave my change to the usher tonight, right? I mean, I wasn't going to walk it up. No, I'm just kidding about that. But listen, when God tells us to do something, He doesn't have to explain it, amen. God said it, that settles it, amen. And so God's will is often unexplained. I would say this to you, God's will is often unusual. When I look at this passage of Scripture and I see where Philip was and what Philip was doing and how the angel of the Lord asked him to go where he asked him to go, why would that seems unusual to me. That doesn't make sense to me. Philip was in a place where people were being saved, people were being baptized, great things were happening, and now the angel of the Lord asked him to leave there and go to the desert. Notice what it says in verse number 26. Arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Now, I don't know how many missionaries pass through your church. I would assume you probably don't have a lot that just drop by. You know, there's probably not a lot of missionaries that just drop by and say, hey, we thought we were just in the area. We thought we would come on Wednesday, because you kind of have to come here on purpose. Amen. You just don't drive down the highway and say, hey, let's go to church here. But if a missionary dropped by and they came into church and they said, preacher, we're just in the area in New York. Maybe we're visiting some family and we're just dropping into service. And here's one of our prayer cards. And the preacher took a look at it and he said, well, where are you a missionary to? And he said, well, I'm a missionary to the desert. What do you think the preacher would say? All right. Yeah, that's exactly right. Okay. Now, what is in a desert, General?
Nothing.
Just sand. Okay. And so maybe the preacher would say, well, have you taken a survey trip there? And the missionary would say, you know, I have. Did you see any people? Well, you know, when I was there for a week and a half, I didn't see anybody. Now, that would be weird. That would be kind of unusual, wouldn't it? But that was Philip's testimony. That's what God asked Philip to do. To go to some place where there was no people. Sometimes God's will seems unusual. You know what's unusual about it? Is that God would want to use me. That God would want to use you. That God would want it. That's what's on you. God, why do you? There's more intelligent people. There's smarter people. God, there's people with better personalities. Why do you want to use me? And God says, hey, I want to use you because you're available and you can be used of God. And so God's will is often unusual. But can I say this to you? Not only is God's will often unusual and God's will is often unexplained, God's will is often unforeseen. Look at verse 27. Notice what it says. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia. Notice how behold is kind of an idea of look, pay attention, look what's happening. And so it says behold, and then it introduces the Ethiopian eunuch. It was like when Philip obeyed God, God put a whole bunch of things in motion. And God put the Ethiopian eunuch traveling that way. And God knew all that. He knew that before he called Philip. That's why he called Philip. That's why he needed Philip to go. Because he knew the Ethiopian eunuch was passing away. But it's like God put a whole bunch of things in motion. God's will is often unforeseen. Here's what I want you to see about that. Is that we never know all the results of our obedience to God. Yeah. We never know everything that takes place because of our obedience to the will of God when God asks us to do something. I was with a pastor in Virginia, and he was in the Army for 3 years. And so I always like to ask our military veterans, I say, well, when did you get saved? Did you get saved before you went in the Army, while you were in the Army, or after you got out of the Army? He said, Brother Mike, I got saved while I was in the Army. I said, well, tell me your story. He said, well, here's how it happened. One day, I was at the chow hall. I got my tray. I walked through the line. I got my food. I went and I sat down at a table. And the table I sat down at, there was a gospel track in the middle of that table. And he said, I picked that gospel track up. I glanced at it. I put it in my pocket. I said, I'll take a look at this later. I got home that night. I took my uniform off. I took that gospel track out. I read it. And he said, on the back of that track, there was a church stamped on the back of that track. On Sunday, I went to the church that was stamped on that track. And the preacher preached the gospel. And at the end of the service, I went forward and I asked Jesus Christ in my heart and in my life. And then he got out of the Army. He went to Bible college. And now he pastors in Virginia, has pastored there many years and has led people to Christ. What I'm saying to you, God's will is often unforeseen. There was somebody that God touched their heart to say, hey, leave a gospel tract on this table. And they didn't know who would read it. They didn't know if anybody would read it. They didn't know if it would just end up in the trash. But there was somebody, a soldier passed by that was in need, that had a situation that said, hey, I'm interested in what that says. And they went to church and they received Jesus Christ. And I believe that young man that left that track, or that young lady that left that track there, there's going to be a lot of fruit on their account when they get to heaven. And they're going to say, where did all that come from? And God's going to say, you remember when you left that gospel track? This is the result of all that has taken place. We were just in Spain a week and a half ago. And there's a young lady in the church in the English service. And so we were talking to her, and she began, the pastor said, tell them your testimony. This young lady and her mom went to buy their dad some shoes for Father's Day. And so they went to this suit shop and they bought shoes. And the guy that owns the store that sells the suits and sells the shoes is a Christian. And so whenever he sells a suit, he puts a gospel tract in the pocket. Whenever he sells shoes, he puts a gospel tract in the shoebox. And so they took those shoes home, they wrapped them up, they gave them to their dad, and she gave them to her dad on Father's Day, and there was an invitation to the church. And she went to that church, and she received Jesus Christ as her personal Savior. See, sometimes we think, this is not going to make a difference. Yeah. But we don't know what it would do if we just obey God's will. So number one, we must be submissive to the will of God. And that's what we see Philip was doing here in verse number 26 and verse 27. Now skip down to verse 29. Notice what it says. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? Now first it was the angel Lord said, arise and go. Now it's the Spirit that said, go near and join. Now I got a question for you. If Philip didn't obey the first command, would he have gotten the second command? No. I don't think he would have. Because he wouldn't have been in the right place. Right. He wouldn't have known the Ethiopian eunuch was passing by. But because he obeyed the first command, God could come to him and say, hey, I got something else for you to do. And can I tell you, that's the way God works. God wants us to be obedient in what we know to do before He gives us something else. There's a lot of people out there that say, hey, I want to do something great for God. I want to serve God. I want to make a difference for God. But listen, if you don't do the first steps, you're never going to get to want to do that something big. The first steps could be maybe following the Lord in believer's baptism. Maybe that's the first step. It could be just doing something God wants you to do. Maybe it's tithing or giving the missions. Maybe it's being obedient in what you already know to do. See, so many times we want to do something great, but God says, hey, let's just do these one step at a time. Amen. And so when we obey that, God says, all right, I got something else for you. And we obey that, God says, I got something else. That's the way God works. Now, I have a GPS in my car. I have a phone.
My wife has a phone that we use to get church to church, and I love the GPS. It gets you generally where you're going. Sometimes I question if it gets me there the quickest route. But I also have something else in my car that young people usually don't know about. It's a book kind of about this big and this wide, and usually there's about 50 states in it alphabetically. And you say, well, what is that? It's an atlas, right? Because I don't think Apple and Siri can do everything that an atlas can do. But why do I like an atlas? Because it gives me the big picture, amen? I'm a big picture kind of guy. I want to see the big picture. But you know what? God doesn't work in the big picture. God works in step by step. He's more like our GPS. Turn right. Turn left. And so as we obey God and we follow God, God will lead us and guide us where we need to go. So the second attitude is this. We need to be sensitive to the ways of God. Sensitive to the ways of God. It was the Holy Spirit that said, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And notice verse 30. Philip ran thither to him. Now there's two ways of God I want to point out in this text. Number one is God uses the Word of God. Amen? Hey, it's God's Word that is our authority. It's God's Word that we open when we preach the Word of God. It's God's Word that we open when we teach the Word of God. I'm not for these churches today that the pastor just gets up without the Bible and just says, hey, let me share some things that I've gone through this week. And no, it's the Word of God that people need to hear. They don't need to hear what does Mike Staley have to say. They need to know, thus saith the Lord. Amen. This is the Word of God. It's the Word of God. The Ethiopian eunuch, he had the Word of God. He had a copy of the Word of God. He had Isaiah chapter 53 about the suffering servant. And he couldn't understand who was talking about. Even asked Philip. He said, who is the prophet talking about? Is he talking about himself or some other man? And I love verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and began the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Hey, what is the name people need to hear? Jesus. What's the name our sailors, our soldiers, our airmen, our Marines? What's the name they need to hear? They need to hear the name Jesus. The name that saves. Amen. And guess what? The people in New York are the same way. They need to hear the name Jesus. And we got to share Jesus with them. So number one is we must be sensitive to the ways of God, that God uses the Word of God. I'm glad I served in the Air Force. I'm glad that I have a military experience. But our military men and women don't need to know about my experience. They need to know about Jesus Christ. That's the most important thing. So we understand that God's way is the Word of God. But I want you to see this. The second thing is to be sensitive to the ways of God. God uses people. God uses people. Why did the angel Lord call Philip from the city of Samaria to go to the desert? Because God uses people. Would you agree with me? If God wanted to write it in the sand for the Ethiopian eunuch, He could have done that. Could He not? If God wanted to build a billboard out in the desert for the Ethiopian eunuch as he passed by, He could have done that. Amen? And you might say, well, there weren't billboards built in those days. Well, do you think the creators of the heaven and the earth could not build a billboard? Amen? He could have done that. But what did God do? He called Philip from the city to go to the desert. Why? Because God uses people. Let me prove it to you. I want you to think of who was instrumental in leading you to Christ or inviting you to church. Who was instrumental in leading you to Christ or inviting you to church? Everybody that has somebody on their mind right now, raise your hand. Look at that. The whole auditorium. For you, preacher, who was it?
Preacher.
A preacher? Okay. For you, sir?
Roger Coolin.
Okay. For you, ma'am?
Two Jehovah's Witnesses.
Okay. Amen. All right. But notice everybody's person is different.
Yeah.
Everybody has a different person. That person that you mentioned, that person was your Philip. They made you think about spiritual things. They invited you to church. They prayed for you. They led you to Christ. That person was your Philip. Now here's my question for you. Who are you trying to be a Philip to? Who are you praying for that they'll get saved? Who are you inviting to church? Who are you sharing the gospel with? See, not only do we all need a Philip, we need to be a Philip to somebody else.
Hey, that's how a generation dies without knowing Christ. Because we stop praying for family members. We stop praying for co-workers. We stop inviting co-workers to church. And listen, just because somebody says no one time doesn't mean you can't ever ask them again. Amen. I mean, sometimes we're so defeated, we say, hey, will you come to church with me? No. And then we drop it at that. Listen, the guy, Eric, was responsible for us coming to Christ. He was a co-worker. He invited us to Memorial Day picnics, Labor Day picnics, July 4th picnics, revival, mission. He was always inviting us to church. And you know what we told him? No, 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 no. And then finally we went. And then we got saved. I'm glad he didn't stop at the first no. Amen. And so not only do we need to have a Philip in our life, we need to be a Philip to somebody else. Who in your family needs to be saved? Who are you praying for? Who in your neighborhood needs to be saved? Who are you praying for? Who are you reaching out to? Hey, who are you taking cookies to and say, hey, we want to invite you this Sunday. It's Easter Sunday, or we're having this celebration. Hey, who are you inviting to church? God uses people. And we must be sensitive to the ways of God. And what are the ways of God? God wants to use you. But you have to be willing to let God use you. You have to be willing to speak up. And I love what Philip did in verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth. Why don't we witness to more people? Because we don't open our mouth.
Amen.
We do open our mouth. We just talk about everything else except Jesus. We'll talk about the weather. You know what I've noticed? People complain about the weather no matter where they're at. Today it's too hot. Tomorrow it'll be too cold. Next day it'll be too windy. I mean, people complain about the weather wherever. We'll talk about sports. We'll even go so far to talk about politics sometimes. But why are we ashamed to talk about Jesus? So we need to open our mouth. Be sensitive to the ways of God. One of the ways for us as we're striving to go overseas and minister to our military is generally whenever I see somebody that has a Vietnam veteran hat on or a World War II hat on, that's usually my cue. That's like, hey, go talk to that individual. And so they'll be eating, they'll be in a restaurant, they'll be standing in line, and I'll just go over and talk to them and I'll say, hey, I want to thank you. Sir, I want to thank you for your service. When did you serve? And they'll say, I served in Vietnam. Which branch of the military were you? I was in the Army. And many times we're able to give them a gospel tract and say, thank you for your service. I mean, that's my... Whenever I see that hat, it's like, hey, this is somebody I can share, talk to. I can share. Hey, who is that person you're trying to reach? Who is the person you're trying to share the gospel with? So be sensitive to the ways of God. Now look down, if you would, verse 39. So Philip goes through, he preaches Jesus to him. They come to the water, and Philip, the Ethiopian eunuch says, here's water, what doth hinder me to be baptized? Philip says, verse 37, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And so he baptized him. Notice this, it's always belief and then baptism. Amen. Belief and then baptism. Baptism does not save. Amen.
Amen.
Baptism does not wipe your sins out. Amen. I pastored in Northeast Georgia. That's a country community. Okay, probably a little similar to New York. This part of New York in some ways, very country. And it never failed, no matter preacher, no matter how much I talked to them, explained salvation to them, made sure they understand it, made sure they understood baptism, the significance of it. It never failed. When I went to baptize somebody, they would say something like this. Preacher, after you baptize me, you're going to have to change this water. Why is that? All my sins are going to be in there. No, no, no. Time out. Your sins were forgiven when you asked Jesus Christ in your heart and your life. Amen. It was the blood that wiped away your sins. It's not the baptism water. It's not the church water. It's nothing special about the church water that's different than the city water. No, that's just a sign of what God's already done in your heart and in your life. But look at verse 39, if you would. It says, and when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. So Philip is caught away after the baptism. Philip is caught away. That's the same idea, the word that how we'll be caught out of this world at the rapture. We'll be snatched out of this world. And that's what happened to Philip. But notice what it says. And he went on his way rejoicing. I believe that's talking about the Ethiopian eunuch. Why could he go on his way rejoicing? Because he had Jesus Christ in his heart and in his life. He had met the most important person. It wasn't Philip. It was the Lord Jesus Christ who Philip preached to him. And he accepted the Lord. And he followed the Lord. He followed in believer's baptism. And now he can go on his way rejoicing. He's happy. But look at verse 40. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Now here's an interesting thing. Philip is caught away. He's found in Azotus. He makes his way north. He's preaching Christ. He's preaching Jesus. He goes all the way to Caesarea. Now why is that interesting? Well, in Acts 21 verse 8, some 20 or 25 years later, Paul goes to Caesarea. And he goes to Philip's house. And here's what the Bible says about Philip some 20 or 25 years later. Philip, an evangelist, one of the seven, he had four daughters. They were virgins. They prophesied. So you know what that tells me about Philip? That some 20, 25 years later, Philip is still serving God, still loves God, still preaching the gospel, still preaching Christ, still preaching Jesus, still raising his family, right? Still bringing his family, right? He's still serving God. You know, for Philip, there was never a time to quit serving God. Whether he was a layman in the church, a missionary to the desert, an evangelist in Caesarea, he just wanted to serve God. And so the final attitude we need to have is this: we must be surrendered to the work of God. I think that's what Philip, that describes Philip's life. No matter where he was at, he says, I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to do my part. I'm going to do what I can do in the church. Hey, what more could we do for the Lord than just to serve Him and to love Him with all our heart, with all our mind, and with all our souls? Philip desired to serve the Lord in any capacity he could. When I got saved in England, I was 23 years old when I got saved. And the first thing that changed in my life was I had a desire to go to church. All those years my mom drugged me to church, I would sit on the back row. I was miserable. I had a bad attitude. I was just there because my mom made me go to church. But you know, after I got saved, guess what? My desires changed. I wanted to go to church. I couldn't wait to go to church. You say, I would even go to church on Wednesday. I couldn't wait to go to church. I worked with the Air Force people Monday, Tuesday, half a day, all day Wednesday. I needed church on Wednesday night. I needed the fellowship. I needed to sing the hymns. I needed to hear the preaching of the Word of God. I needed the fellowship with God's people. That was one thing that changed. But something else changed. I had a desire to serve. I wanted to do something. And so I went to my pastor and I said, Pastor, how can I help? Or what can I do to be a blessing? My first job in the church was cleaning the baptistry. Now, we had a baptistry that sat kind of outside of our church, and so it was kind of like in a fruit cellar kind of thing, and there was a lot of spiders in there. And so I talked to my pastor. He said, it'd be help if you'd clean the baptistry before we baptize somebody. So we had clean work days at men's fellowship. So you'd go to men's fellowship, you'd have breakfast, you'd have prayer, and everybody go to their job. So we had that first men's fellowship. We ate breakfast, we prayed, I went to the cleaning closet, I got spick and span, Mr. Clean, I got every cleaning product, I grabbed the broom, I went to the baptistry, I took my shoes off, took my socks off, rolled up my pants, I put that spick and span, Mr. Clean, everything in there, I squirted it all, because in the military we had a motto: the better it smells, the cleaner it is. Amen? And so I said, it's at least going to smell clean. Amen? And I began to scrub. I tried to get the water line down, get the spiders out, try to make it as clean as possible. And some of those men would come by and they'd say, Brother Mike, does your wife know you can do that? And I said, no, and don't you tell her, amen. What happens in men's fellowship stays in men's fellowship, amen. There's some things your wife don't need to know how to do. And so I was doing it for the Lord. So I cleaned the baptistry. I got it clean. And said, somebody was baptized. I said, man, I wasn't doing it for the person that got baptized. I wasn't doing it for my pastor. I just wanted to serve the Lord.
And so I went to my pastor after that. I said, Pastor, I'll keep cleaning the baptistry. I don't have a problem with it. But is there something else I can do? Can I be involved in some other ministry? Can I teach a class? I don't know why everybody wants to teach the adults, but I said, can I teach the adults? He's like, Brother Mike, we already got something there. I said, what about the teens? I mean, they like pizza. They like activities. I said, I think I can do that. He said, we already got somebody there. We have a lot of singles in the military ministry. I said, can I work in the singles? He said, we already got somebody there. I said, Pastor, is there any class I can help in? Is there any class where you need somebody? And he said, well, Brother Mike, there is one class where we need some help. And I said, what is it? He said, it's the 2 and 3 year olds. Now, you got to understand, my wife and I didn't have any children at that time. You know what that makes us, right? Experts in child rearing, amen? You ever notice that before you have kids, you know everything, and then once you have kids, you're like, oh, Lord, please help me, amen? But we didn't have any kids at the time, so I said, okay. I said, we'll do it. If that's the only place you got, we'll do it. So we had 6 or 7 2-3 year olds. We had a very young church in England, a lot of military families. So we had 6 or 7 2 and 3 year olds. So I got in there. By this time, God's called me to preach. I know I need an introduction, 3 points, and a poem. Amen? And so I got them all sat down. I'm in my introduction. I'm going to town. One of those little boys raised his hand and said, Brother Mike, we forgot to sing. I said, oh, man. I can't sing or play a guitar like Brother Rice can. And I said, man, I cannot sing very well. My wife doesn't sing. I said, we're just going to forgo singing in this class. We're just going to focus on God's Word. I mean, this is the foundational age. I got to get you grounded in the Word of God. Your parents are dependent on me. This is 45 minutes of the Word of God. And so we went a little bit longer. A little girl raised her hand. She said, Brother Mike, we forgot the color. I said, sister, if we don't have time to sing, we definitely don't have time to color. Amen. I said, I got to get God's Word in your hearts and in your lives. And so I kept going. And then all of a sudden, we had some windows over here, just like your church has in our classroom. And all of a sudden, a little bird came to that window. And all my congregation got up and ran over to that window. And I'm like, come back, come back. I'm not done yet. And they're all looking at that bird. And I had to change my whole message. I say, yes, God created the bird. God made the tree. God made the grass. God made everything. Amen. And so I was teaching that class. And people ask me, they say, what's the difference between teaching adults and teaching 2 and 3 year olds? You know what it is? Adults will continue to look at you when they're not interested. 2 and 3 year olds, they say, I'm out of here. I'm gone. I'm going to go do something else. But I say that to say this. I just wanted to serve the Lord. I just wanted to do something for God. Hey, if we're going to rise and go, number one, we must be submissive to the will of God. We must be sensitive to the ways of God. And then thirdly, we must be surrendered to the work of God. You know, what happens here in this church on Sundays and Wednesdays, even nobody else in the community might understand it, is the most important thing that happens. Because it's God's work. And we get to have a part in that. And God uses us. And God allows us to be involved. Hey, that's an amazing thing to me. Amen. That God would use us to be a part of His ministry. Hey, let's continue to rise and go.
Yeah.
Let's continue to be involved. Let's continue to reach people. Let's continue to serve. And we'll give all the honor and all the praise to God. Amen. Amen. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, thank You for this evening. Thank You for the opportunity to come and share our testimony and open the Word of God tonight. Lord, I pray I could be a challenge and encouragement to these people. And Lord, I pray that You just help them to continue on, to continue serving. Lord, I pray that they begin to pray for a family member, a co-worker, a neighbor, someone that needs Christ. And they begin to pray and that You would open doors and You give them opportunities to witness. Lord, help us to be useful to You. Lord, use us for Your honor and glory. And Lord, we'll thank You and we'll praise You for all You do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Pastor.
Amen. Lord. Rather than have an invitation after that, let's have a prayer time after that. Pray for the Lord. Let's remember to pray for the Lucias, pray for Dave and Chris, pray for our Jeannie and for healing. And let's just meet with the Lord just now. You pray again for that someone that was brought up that you're praying about their salvation. let's whisper their name before the throne room tonight. And let's just unite our hearts in prayer, and we'll close our service in prayer. I'm going to ask Brother Bill, why don't you lead us off in prayer, if you would. And then Brother Dave, if you'd pray. And then Brother Tracy, you pray. And then I'll go ahead and close our prayer time. While these men are praying, you just word your prayer. I love it when, I don't know if you've ever been in a prayer meeting like this. We was in a prayer meeting where everyone prayed out loud at the same time. And God could hear all 50 of us. So you pray tonight. Get a hold of God. And appreciate the message so much. And praise the Lord for that. So let's just unite our hearts in prayer. If you want to come to an altar, kneel at your chair, be comfortable. Let's just seek out God. Brother Bill.
Dear Heavenly